The text is Psalm 116, the 15th verse. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What did he say? You've asked that before. You couldn't believe your ears heard what they did. On All Saints Day, we hear God saying something about the death of saints. So amazing, so revealing, so comforting that we should be startled. What more amazing thing could the Lord have said than precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints? Since when is death precious? Death is horrible. Death is ugly. It's every bit as wretched and scary as it's portrayed on Halloween. You've seen what death does to people, haven't you? It leaves them shriveled, cold, heavy. And I'm not just talking about the bad deaths from disease, accidents, or tragedies. I'm talking about the so-called good ones. When people depart this life full of years, death is still ugly. It's putrid, not precious. If you don't agree, why are words like morgue, autopsy, embalming, coffin, and hearse ominous to us? But if death were really precious, wouldn't we celebrate it? Wouldn't we gather together to remember it? Wouldn't we pass a death down to our children, even as we pass down other precious things? But we don't. We celebrate birthdays, not death days. Rather than passing down the deaths of saints as precious, most of us do everything we can to forget about them. And our world only encourages us. You got to get on with your life, you know. That's in the past. Life is for the living. Anyone who thinks any death is precious is looked at as nuts. Call God crazy then, because he's the one who says the death of his saints is precious in his sight. But as crazy as that may sound to us, it dovetails with other things that God says. In Ecclesiastes 7, God says, the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. God would certainly seem to advocate death day parties rather than birthday parties. And while our world makes much more of the birthday of Jesus, God emphasizes his death day. It's the day he is glorified. It's the day he begins to reign publicly, albeit from a cross. It's the day his church preaches the most about, because she preaches Christ crucified. The church has taken on God's attitude toward the death of his saints. Her heroes, her saints, her martyrs are all remembered not on their birthday, but on their death day. Now that's the opposite in the world. The world celebrates the birthdays of King, Washington, Lincoln. You could say, well, that's because of the violent way some of them died. But nearly all the heroes of the church died violently, and some even more horribly than by assassin's bullet. They were burned alive, they were sawn in two, they were torn to bits by beasts, they were beheaded. Yet these death days are not just remembered, but celebrated. And do you know where? Where did they have a festive meal and even the Lord's Supper? At church? In homes? At rented halls? No, at and even on the very grave of the person whose death they were celebrating. Well, that's too much. Some people can't stand to eat at a funeral home. Some can't even eat after funerals. But precious moments are usually celebrated by food, right? You go out for an anniversary. You eat at weddings. You have a special dinner on birthdays. But the death of those in Christ is precious to God, then it's understandable that God's people would celebrate with food. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That is not just an amazing statement, it's a revealing one. Evidently, the death of those in Christ doesn't look the same to God as it does to us. If all God saw was the blood, sweat, and tears of death that we see, I'm sure death would not be precious in his sight either. But it is precious, so he must see something we don't. Yes, he sees what Scripture tells us, but we forget. God sees in the death of Christians beautiful angels winging the soul to heaven. Now that's a precious moment worthy of a knickknack. God doesn't see our dead in Christ snatched from a life of joy, but from a valley of tears. God doesn't see them taken to some nameless, faceless, oblivion of blinding light. Here, heed Victor Hugo's advice. Have a care of the manner in which you run, in which you turn towards the dead. Think not of that which perishes. Gaze steadily. You will perceive the living light of your well-beloved dead in the depths of heaven. God doesn't see your loved ones in Christ lost to you in death, but in the words of a 4th-century church father, he sees them as gone on a journey, and they will return with the King. The death of saints is precious to God. The Hebrew is rich with meaning. Its basic sense is heavy. The death of his saints is a weighty matter for God. It's not something that God lets happen easily or carelessly, as it often appears. Luther, referring to the murder of Abel by Cain, says the fact that God says the death of his saints is precious means, quote, that when people are slain in this manner, this does not mean that they are no concern to God. God doesn't reach down and snuff lives like we do candles. The fact they die in an apparent haphazard way, as if they were just in the wrong place at the wrong time, as if luck, fortune, or chance had a hand in it, is not true. The death of his saints is a weighty matter. Using human concepts, we would say that it's not an easy thing for God to decide who dies, when, and how. All of history is not pre-recorded by God on some supercomputer and he just hits enter. No, the death of his saints is heavy on the heart of God. It's weighed in all sorts of balances before it ever happens. The Hebrew word for precious has not only the idea of heavy, but also the idea of value. The death of those in Christ, big and small, important and unimportant, those remembered by all and those known but to God, is valuable to him. God never comes away from a death shaking his head as I have, saying, that was pointless. A death may indeed seem pointless to our limited understanding, but God declares the death of his saints is always valuable to him. God declares concerning every Christian's death what Lincoln declared about the dead at Gettysburg. Resolve that those who lie here shall not have died in vain. Don't look to your head or heart to find meaning in a death. Look to God's declaration that the death of every saint is valuable to him. It's achieving some good to the glory of his name and the salvation of his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's an amazing statement, a revealing statement, and a comforting statement. Already in the 4th century apostolic constitutions, they directed that this psalm verse be sung at Christian funerals. They recognized they were comforting words. And although I started out by saying that death wasn't precious to us, this verse really goes where our hearts are at death. While death might be precious to us, our dead in Christ are. That's why Christians called the place where they put their dead a casket. A casket was originally a place for putting precious things. Ironically, the modern funeral industry has gotten away from that term, believing it a gloomy reminder of death. They prefer the word coffin, which is just a basket for putting any old thing. Our dead in Christ are precious to us. We cherish them in caskets. We mark their graves. We even beautify them. Here lies something precious to us. Here lies something that God is not done with, something still valuable to him. Your dead are precious to you, and they are precious to your Lord. A 19th century translation translates this verse, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his favorites. Yes, that idea is in the Hebrew too. When we gather around the dead in Christ, we're gathering around God's favorites. The ones he sought to spare from the evil to come. The ones that were so valuable to him that he could not wait for them to be with him in heaven. Ones that were the apple of his eye. Ones that he'd engraved on the palms of his hands. Ones that not only he is dying to see, but died to save. Think about that. What you give for something precious to you is always less precious to you. Think of what the Lord gave up so he might call precious the death of his saints. Think of what sacrifices God made so that he might treasure our dead in Christ. In Isaiah 43, we read that God gave up Egypt and other nations for the sake of Israel, who was precious in his sight. But God didn't give up nations for the sake of people. He gave up his only beloved son. God didn't have nations suffer and die for people, but his son. God didn't shed the blood of nations, but the blood of his son, so all could die in Christ as precious. Our dead in Christ are more precious in the sight of God than even his only son. You know how parents worry about playing favorites with one of their kids? Well, God said, nuts to that, pointed at Jesus and said, he's not my favorite. All the fallen children of men are. Any death in Christ is more precious to our Heavenly Father than even that of his only son. Remember, he turned away in wrath and disgust at the sinner hanging on the cross, just so he could turn with grace and mercy towards the death of his saints. Now, if the death of his saints is precious, so precious that he forsook his only son in death, then so must be the product of that. The product of the death of a saint is a saint in heaven. Revelation shows you saints in heaven doted over. All of their needs are more than fulfilled. All of their sorrows more than removed. God himself bends down and doesn't just wipe tears off their cheeks. No, he bends down and he wipes tears out of their very eyes. Tears don't even get a chance to well up in their eyes, let alone run down the cheeks of the saints in heaven. Revelation shows us the saints in heaven are individuals precious to God. That's the thought behind the custom of reading aloud once a year the names of those in church who have died. It showed that the dead in Christ were still alive and remembered. To paraphrase the Statler Brothers song, it showed they were more than just a name on a tombstone. And they were precious, not only to the Lord of heaven, but to his people on earth. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.